Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. Open my eyes, that I might see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are cursed, those who stray from your commands. Remove from me their scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. The rulers sit together and slander me. Your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. Amen. Coronavirus 19 is spreading globally. As emphasis put on social distancing, people's daily lives have narrowed, and accordingly, the volume of daily activities are shrinking. Now we are at a point where we should be worried more about the economic impact due to the reduced activities than further spreading of virus. Whether it is a threat of virus, a downturn in economy, or whether existing hardships or difficulties made worse by Corona-19, my utmost desire is for all of us to escape from these difficult situations as soon as possible. We are witnessing the hardships faced by those who have tested positive for Corona-19 and the sweat of those who are fighting in order to stop further spreading of the virus. We're listening to the cries of those who are facing the threat of insolvency due to shrinking economic activities. I pray that everyone who is facing pain and difficulties will revive under the hands of merciful God. In today's text too, there is a person who desperately wants that the merciful hands of God would save them. Psalmist who wrote Psalm 119 was facing severe difficulties. He prays to God that he might save him. This is from Psalm 119, which is in acrostic form, the third stanza, 17th verse. Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. The situation faced by Psalmist was so bad that he had to pray that he might live. Now, this verse seems to say that he will obey God's word on conditional terms. Now, it is a blessing, however, that one is able to make such a petition, although he may have come to a conditional resolution because the circumstances of his life have become bad. I hear these kinds of confessions from time to time around me. Here is a part of a testimony from a daily paper. God, I did wrong. Please forgive me. I have realized that I am no better than an insect. Have mercy on me, who is foolish and depraved. God, please save me. It's okay if I become a handicapped person. If you just save me this one time, I will be faithful to you until my hands and feet wear out. And there are similar petitions. God, please save me this one time. If you save me, I will become the Lord's servant. In this way, it's not bad that after regretting too late, that you come to some kind of a resolution or a resolve and beg God to save you. The words of the writer of Psalm 119 also seems to be a kind of a petition that he would obey God's words if God rescues him from a deadly situation. But the psalmist was not someone who did not obey God's words. He was a person who obeyed them. There are several testimonies in Psalm 119 about this. If we were to look at verse 4, it says, "You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed." The writer declares that he has kept God's words in obedience of God's command. And if we were to look at the first part of verse 22, the writer confesses as follows, "Remove from me their scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes." And according to verse 2, he was someone who was aware that a blessed person is someone who obeys the words of God. Therefore, verse 17 is not a conditional petition. 17 is not merely a conditional petition, which asks God to save him out of a crisis that he's facing, and he would obey the words if he's saved. It is a confession which says that he obeyed God's words in the past, but he will continue to obey them in the future if God were to spare his life. The psalmist was clearly aware, as he faced a crisis, that the sole purpose of life is to live according to God's words. Isn't this the same for us? As one does one's best to obey God's words as one lives, there are times that one runs into trouble. Then one prays for God's deliverance. God, please save me. If you rescue me from this, I will keep your words better. A person will probably give such a kind of prayer. The prayer that tells us that the writer kept close to God's words in the ordinary times is found in verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. In his prayer to open his eyes to see wonderful things in God's law, we can detect a will which would obey God's law even better after the writer prayed for his deliverance. It is a prayer that asks he be allowed to see mysteries he had not perceived before in God's words. And the prayer that asks that he would come to understand even greater grace in God's words. The psalmist in ordinary times must have seen wonderful things and were moved in reading God's words. Because he knows the joy of such grace, he is praying that his eyes may be opened so that he might see wonderful things that will apply to his deadly condition. The writer wanted to know the plan of God, the heart of God, the providence of God. Like the prayer of the psalmist, our eyes must also be opened. Our eyes must be opened, which can perceive the wonderful works of God each time we read the Bible, God's words. If you regard God's words but have no understanding, or hear them but have no understanding, then God's words do not act in your life as strength, and they will not result in any kind of fruit. Then, how could our eyes be opened? God must open them. And whose eyes will he open? A person who has a pure heart, like a child. This is from Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Eyes are not opened because one happens to be learned, knows a lot, or have experienced much. God must open our eyes. And when our eyes are opened, like those of a child with a pure heart, and one perceives God's will in God's words, then one discovers, amazingly, new grace when reading the same verse later. A verse which is read today and tomorrow, when it is read a week or a month later, the reading reveals new wonderful things each time it is read. This is the grace that is given to us by God's words. It's like God giving us new grace each time. The new believers are amazed at coming across stories of miracles, like the Red Sea parting or dead person coming alive again. Of course, these are amazing happenings. But would the writer of the psalm mean these kinds of miracles when he says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law"? Rather, wouldn't it be a prayer that asks he be able to perceive yet another wonderful message of the Lord in the same verses, although he had read the Bible for decades? The writer was sure that if his eyes are opened and he's able to see wonderful things in God's words, he would be able to withstand present difficulties. And this can be confirmed from the following verse, which is from verse 19. "I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your command from me." A traveler is an alien, a foreigner. People say these are times when the human rights of foreigners are respected. But the law still does not protect foreigners as much as citizens. In the ancient societies, when there were no human rights and personal safety was not secure, a stranger was someone who lived with deep insecurity, not knowing when he might die. The writer of the psalm tells us that he's in a hard situation where he's living like a stranger in a foreign land, not being able to secure a place for himself and not acknowledged by people. But the psalmist is not the only stranger. We all live lives of a stranger, lonely and wandering from place to place. Our home is at heaven. But we must try to settle here. If we try to put down a base here and furnish it and think it is home, then we made a mistake with our address. To settle on this earth, relying on the foundations of social and economic foundations one has built up, is incompatible with the lives of a stranger who longs for home. That the psalmist calls himself a stranger tells us that this earth is only a stopping place. It is said that as you get older, your sense of passing time quickens. That older you get, you realize that we live a life of a stranger. This earth is a place where we stay for a while, and although we live a lonely and wearing life of a stranger, in doing so we must live connected to eternity. And how is one to do that? The psalmist knew that in order to do so, he had to rely on someone or something. He believed that something was God's words. He realized that living a life of a stranger, there was no way he could overcome troubles and loneliness without God's words. The prayer that confesses this is, "Do not hide your commands from me." It is not different from the earlier verse, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." If God hides his law, how could we see wonderful things? We are able to see wonderful things because God has not hidden his words from us and gave us the eyes to see them. To live connected to eternity in living a life as a stranger is to keep close to God's words, which are eternal. When one keeps close to God's laws, God who speaks with words will become our companion. A stranger, because he's lonely, desperately needs someone who loves him. And such longing is well revealed in verse 20. "My soul is consumed with longing for your law at all times." He longed for God's words so much that his heart broke. the original meaning of the word break in Hebrew means to become grinded, to pulverized. It is a confession which says that the psalmist longed for God's words to the extent of his heart becoming pulverized. Now, how is one's heart when one is in love? Doesn't the heart ache out of longing? Doesn't it hurt out of worry that the love will not be returned? Has your heart ached for God's words as much as it would have in loving and longing for a person? Think about the past times when you were in love. What was your heart like in longing for your future husband or wife before marrying him or her? And if you're dating someone now, or if you like someone, is longing for that person, how is your heart? Wouldn't it be great if we become people who long for God's words as much as we long for people we love? What is the reason that the psalmist longed for God's words to the extent of his heart becoming pulverized? It's because he's a lonely stranger in pain. A stranger is not able to settle at any one place, so his life is unstable. He cannot wish to climb up the social ladder. He has no social safety net, so it's not possible for him to grow his power through gathering people, so he's vulnerable to external powers. A stranger is someone who often runs into life-threatening situations because of external powers. This is why the writer petitions for his life in the first verse. And who are those who are threatening him? The following verse tells us who they are. This is from verse 21. You rebuke the arrogant who are accursed, those who stray from your commands. When we look at verse 85 of Psalm 119, it testifies that those who are arrogant are those who disobey God's word. Chapter 27 of verse 26 of Deuteronomy shows that a curse is placed upon a person when he does not obey God's words. Therefore, a description of an arrogant person, a cursed person, a person who has wandered away from the law show, in fact, three aspects of the same person. There is no case where a person only falls under one of such descriptions and not fall under the other two, because they're all intertwined. If a person fits one description, then the other two descriptions will apply to that person as well. A person who strays from God's words is someone who does not keep the words of God. We find that there is a conflict between the psalmist who keeps the law and those who have strayed from the law. The conflict in this age is the same. Those who strayed from God's words threaten those who keep the words of God. It would be great to live without a threat, but there is no one who lives a life free from threats. God does not leave those who threaten others alone, but rebukes them. He opposes the proud. God rebukes, and will rebuke the arrogant, the accursed ones, the ones who strayed away from the law. Even if his rebuke is not fulfilled immediately, we must wait for his time. The day set by God comes without fail. The psalmist prays that the threat of those who have wandered from God's words and who are threatening him will disappear. This is from verse 22. Remove from me their scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. The psalmist, because he keeps God's laws, was criticized and looked down upon because of it. We have said that keeping God's words means to carry them out in action. We must not think something strange has happened because we face criticisms and contempt because we carry out God's words. For those who keep God's words, there's always going to be criticisms and scorn from people who have strayed away from God's law. If we look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "The people who have wandered from God's law are surprised that people who keep the law do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on them." It says that people who have adopted the secular values think of people who do not follow them as being strange and criticize them. So this world we live in see conflict between people who keep God's words and those who have left them. Therefore, when you receive criticisms and condemnation as you live according to the words of God, do not be afraid. When there are criticisms and scorns, we must be patient and pray, as the psalmist did, that the criticisms and scorns will move away from us and wait for the time of God's rebuke. The process of going through such hardship will draw us nearer to God. Verse 23 tells us that there are others who, different others who criticize the psalmist who keeps the words of God. "The rulers sit together and slander me. Your servant will meditate on your decrees." The Hebrew word sar, translated as rulers, was used to denote the head of the priests, the leader of the tribe of Israel, or a commander of military. Therefore, the word rulers points to people who hold religious and political power. Since these rulers are criticizing the psalmist, we can guess generally what position he occupied. The rulers probably did not criticize ordinary citizens leading ordinary lives. Who would have been in a position to be criticized by rulers? In verse 17 and in verse 23, the psalmist called himself the Lord's servant. In Psalms, the poems that calls in which the writer calls himself as a servant of the Lord were mostly written by David. So based on this, Psalm 119 is regarded as a psalm written by David. Assuming that Psalm 119 was written by David, verse 46 gives us a possible clue as to when it might have been written. And verse 46 says, "I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame." So we can guess that the time was before David became king. And if so, then this is when David was considered the enemy of King Saul, before David was anointed and became king. David would have gone through many life-threatening crises during this time. That the rulers slander psalmist does not mean that they called him and criticized him in his presence. And that they slandered him does not mean that they criticized and abused him with words, but that they conspired to kill him. Many people met to strategize about how to kill a good man. The psalmist prayed to God for his life because he detected this danger. I will read verse 23 as it appears in modern translation of the Korean Bible. "The rulers sit together to conspire how to bring me down, but I meditate on the Lord's words." The psalmist did not only receive scorns and contempt from ordinary citizens, but from rulers, and even his life was being threatened. Generally, when we receive criticisms, we criticize back. We not only criticize back as much as we were criticized, but we criticize those who criticize us several times more harshly. But we should not follow the way, we should follow the way the psalmist confronted the criticisms and contempt he received from others. When we are put into an extreme situation because we are obeying God's words, let us not moan or complain, but recite the words of God, the Bible, in small voices. The psalmist lets us know why he read aloud God's words in small voice rather than criticizing those who criticized him. This is from verse 24. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. The words of God provide delight to those who feel threatened. When one is criticized, one may feel insecure, anxious, and angry. But when one recites God's words in a small voice, his insecurity, anxiety, and anger disappears. The delight that God's words give causes one to forget the bad emotions. Usually when one is in trouble, one seeks out advice from others. But the psalmist says that he finds counsel in God's words, the Bible. When we face a difficulty, the words of God is the best counselor, better than any counselor or a consultant. May you treat the words of God, the Bible, as your counselor. When you look to the words of God as your counselor, it is the same as if you make God, who is your very strength, as your counselor. There is no need to worry. Although people who criticize and bother me enlist all kinds of people to strategize against me, in the same way that rulers get together to slander the psalmist, God, who is strength, will become my counselor. If we were to strategize with God, who speaks with his words, whom should we fear? In the same way that we should not fear people, there is no reason also for us to fear environmental and economic threats. It is not good for us to simply be sad or be fearful at this time as we are facing difficulties because of the spread of coronavirus and its after effects. In all situations, we can be glad because of words of God, who is our strength. God's words are the delight and comfort that cannot be bought with money. With money, you cannot take care of troubles, overcome fear, or leave sadness behind. But with God's words, we can overcome difficulties, fight back fear, and forget our sadness. Right now, our nation and the rest of the world need to wisely overcome present difficulties. In midst of such efforts, we, Christians, should recite God's words in small voices. Wouldn't we be able to comfort those who are experiencing sadness only when we are able to beat back sadness with the words of God? Wouldn't we be able to hold the hands of those who are captivated by fear only when we first escape our fear with the words of God? Wouldn't we be able to serve as God's pathways who save people who are dying only when we remain living? What allows us to live is not a vaccine or money. It is only the words of God. Let us pray. Father God, We pray that you would look upon with favor on those who are facing threats to their lives and financial condition due to the spreading of coronavirus. Although we are amidst of various difficulties, open our eyes so that we may see wonderful things, the pathway to life, in your words. Thank you for allowing us to realize that this world, where there are diseases and pain, cannot be our home. May you not hide your words from strangers who cannot live secure lives because they lack social network. Strangers who live harsh lives because they cannot dream of upward status. Strangers who live in fear because of all kinds of threats. May all of us who live as strangers not settle on this earth, but long for home. And by keeping God's words, live lives that are connected to eternity. Although we may receive criticisms and contempt from those who have wandered from your words, may we not respond in kind, but recite your words in small voices. And therefore, may your words become our delight and our counselors, so that we do not fear the slandering of those who hold power in the world. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.